It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guy.
Gotta feed that boy.
You are getting your man card pulled.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Grilling Guys.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. We're in April, and so I think spring's on the way. We've had some crazy weather all over this country. I guess that comes with spring every year, but our friends up north, if you're listening, our thoughts are with you. That ice storm tore you guys up, and then some tornadoes came through this past week, so it's been a little messy up there, but our thoughts are with you. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill, and maybe a little bit of that will go away. But anyway, I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. And welcome to the Grilling Guys. Don't forget to check out our website. It's thegrillingguys.com. And you'll see all kinds of cool stuff on there. Right now, if you click on the ThermoPen link, you'll notice that there's a tremendous sale. And you'll also notice that there's a link you can click to sign up for your free ThermoPen. Just fill out a simple little name, email address, and zip code, and shoot it in, and we will put you in the drawing for a wonderful, the best instant read you'll ever put your hands on.
That's right, and we promise not to spam you. We don't sell anything at the Grilling Guys.
We should.
We should, but we don't. So where I'm going is don't be afraid to jump on that, because no one is going to send you marketing as a result of it. We just need to know how to get a hold of you when you win.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, Bob, this weekend, or this last weekend, one of my great friends and his wife were celebrating his birthday, and we got invited along down to this place in Allegan, Michigan, which is south and west of Grand Rapids, where we are, to a place called the Grill House. And it's a very large, old mansion, is the only way I can talk about it, because they've got the upstairs and the downstairs turned into seating in a restaurant, and all the different seatings of the big rooms of the house. Well, one of the rooms is a grill house. And what I mean by that is you're inside, but there's this monstrous grill. It's probably 20 feet long and 10 feet wide, and people stand all around it, and you can grill your own steak. And when you walk in the room, there's a big meat counter. You just pick out your piece of meat, walk over to the grill. You may have to wait in line because it was very popular. We were there on a Saturday night about 6 o'clock, and there were a couple hundred people there. So we had to wait a little bit, but there's a full bar. It's cool. And we're going to have the gentleman, one of the proprietors, or he and his wife, Brian, is going to be on the a show here in the next week or two, and I'll save all the details for that. But what
Make
a cool
sure
experience.
Some steaks up.
Right, yeah, exactly. But what a cool experience. I've never been to a restaurant where I could walk in and cook my own.
I was at Fenn Valley last summer, and they let me grill my steak right outside.
You know what? No, that was several years ago, and they weren't serving just steak. I understand they had tofu as well, didn't they?
No. No, they were beautiful steaks. You picked your meal in advance.
I know, but I've grilled tofu down there, or had it grilled for me.
Yeah, those guys next to us did.
Yeah.
It was pretty good, actually.
I never thought you guys would eat tofu.
Well, I didn't, but I got rode hard and put away wet that day. And
Well, there were some people from India next to us.
Oh.
And they actually made it look like good to eat instead of just a white chunk of gelatin. And it was really good. You know, their spice combinations are really good, and it's just protein.
Yeah. Right.
Not my cup of tea, but I'll try just about anything.
Yeah, that goes down in Grilling Guy's legend as things I probably
well,
shouldn't
have
done.
Well, here's how it happened is Jop made the mistake of mentioning it at our very first station, and my co-host lit him up.
He said, yeah, you can grow tofu.
Yeah.
And we just looked at each other like, did he just say that?
I was a young griller back then.
It was a lesson.
Yeah, right. Still stings a bit.
Yeah, can't tell. I had a lot of great grilling experience this week. You know, cleaning the freezer out, getting ready for the next cow. So it's like you just open it up and pull something out.
Yep.
One of the things I pulled out was, of course, I bought that wild Alaska fish, and I had a couple halibut steaks.
Ooh.
And I pulled those out, and because Our guests were gone for the night, so I could afford to feed my wife some halibut.
Yeah.
And grilled it up with some EVO and some sea salt and black pepper, and found out that she loves fish if it's fried.
Yeah, right. Well,
she likes fish and chips, okay? Right. You can throw anything in batter and fry it, and she'll say it's wonderful.
Yeah.
But the grilled halibut, yeah, it just didn't work for her.
Right. Well, that's one of the most mild fish out of the
ocean.
It
is. And she wants that darn...
Batter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And that's okay. I mean, batter's good. What kind of batter? Did you batter it or did you pan fry it?
No, I grilled it in EVO on my infrared.
Oh, okay.
And it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Made some homemade sauce to dip it in, whatever you call that stuff. And so
tartar sauce.
There you go, tartar. Also, cleaning out the freezer, pulled out some porterhouse.
Yep.
That are just about a year old now, so it's time to get rid of all that meat, right?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. They were drop-dead gorgeous. Yep. And if you thaw them properly, and, of course, I have an old-school freezer like you, so it doesn't freezer burn.
Right.
They were fantastic. They were huge.
Yeah,
I have my slaughterhouse cut one side to 2 inch and one side to 1 inch. So my wife gets just the right side, and hers is medium well by the time mine's medium rare.
Right.
Which is perfect.
Yep.
And Sobey will do that for you, too.
Oh, all day long.
I also pulled out, we just talked about this a week or two ago, I found some pork steak.
Yeah.
That was several years old, but I smoked it. It was so good. You couldn't even tell.
Yeah.
And then did some potato wedges, and my wife loves grilled potato wedges.
So talk to me about that a little bit. Do you boil the potatoes first a little bit, or
it's
just you peel in a raw potato, or do you leave the skin on it?
I bought some large Idaho baking potatoes.
Okay.
And I cut them into long kind of wedge fingers, so they were thin enough to cook at a reasonable time.
Okay.
But I know where you're headed, and you got to be careful with potato wedges because you can.
Well, they're hard for
they're
a long
not that
time.
Easy.
Right. You got to cook them a long time on a grill to get them soft so you want to eat them.
And you want your lid closed.
Yeah.
But I just put them in like the Old World Tuscan EVO, and I put some sea salt and black pepper on them, and they were just – I actually touched them off with a little bit of balsamic when they were done.
Yeah.
While they were still on the grill.
That sounds good.
Oh, my gosh.
So approximately, Idaho potato, I'm looking at it. You know,
these are giant.
Right.
Yep. These were bigger than the ones at the Jethro party.
Yeah.
So believe it or not.
So you cut those things lengthways in a little wedge, if you will, and then about how long? I mean, it depends on the size of the chunk.
Probably 15 minutes.
Right. Did you turn them a couple times?
Oh,
or
yeah, you have to.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so you basically hold it lengthwise, like you said, and you cut it in half, and then you start cutting down that
little wedges
and
of it.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you put the olive oil, and you use Tuscan, you said, salt, pepper, that's it. Put them on the grill and roll them every couple minutes because you're probably going to want your grill pretty warm for that. I mean,
I think medium was where I was set.
Yeah. Yep.
Because with the halibut, I did medium.
And you don't want to burn them.
They were the perfect complement for the halibut, too. I can't believe that she ate like a couple bites.
Yeah.
Broke my heart.
Yeah.
I've been planning this date for a long time.
Well, you probably ate the rest, though. So,
well,
I mean, it was the effort that counts.
Somebody
right?
had to.
If she didn't want the halibut, well.
Yeah, this thing's called Wild Alaskan. You can have it shipped right to your house. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And fresh. It's all
frozen
wild.
Fresh. Right. Yeah, it's wild caught, flash froze. They send it to you on dry ice. And
yeah.
It's beautiful stuff.
Yeah, it's not cheap, but it's good.
No, it's not.
Right.
You'll pay dearly.
Yep, but you're getting wild caught Alaskan fish, which is hard to find.
So, you know, that got me thinking about, it's kind of trying to be spring, and it's about time we talk about spring cleaning for your grills. Gas and charcoal, they all need it.
Yep, and I hope that if you have a charcoal grill, you did a little bit of cleaning last fall before you put it away.
Been using it all winter.
Well, that too, yeah, but you're not going to like what you find if you didn't. And so in the next segment, we're going to talk about cleaning a grill, and this is serious stuff because if you've not used your grill a lot over the winter, trust me, I've found them. There could be a mouse nest in there.
We'll call it grill husbanding what you have to do for your grill.
Exactly. And we're going to break that down because it's not difficult, but it's a little tedious. And you need to make sure that you take the time to do it when you first pull your grill out. If you've had it in a barn, in your garage, out back, whatever.
You'll Shame be, on you.
Well, you'll be amazed what might have found that to be home over the winter. But you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in. We're going to clean up your grill. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Hall Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. Join us for happy hour Monday through Saturday from 4 to 7, with 30% off brick oven pizzas and dollar off beer and wine. Enjoy your meal and drinks on our large outdoor patio, or even take your pizzas to go. Happy hour deals also available at our sister location, Wealthy Street Bakery, which is on the corner of Wealthy and Union. Check out our menus online at wealthystreetbakery.com and also at hallstreetbakery.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like
Welcome back.
Tall.
It's Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Say, the spring is right around the corner. Depending on where you're listening, you might be already in full swing. I talked to my brother in Huntsville, Alabama, my brother-in-law. And he's got all his flowers are out, and the trees are all got leaves on them and stuff. And here we sit in Michigan with 20 degrees one night. And
did you see the video of somewhere up around the bridge around Gaylord or whatever? Of it was raining, and then it turned to
ice
cold.
Yeah,
that wind was 50 miles an hour.
I know. And they shut the Mackinac Bridge down for 2 days because of that ice.
They do every spring.
Yeah, man. It's crazy.
They had pieces of ice the size of Buicks falling off of it yesterday.
The bridge.
Yeah, that's why they shut it down. Yeah.
Yep.
Or 3 days ago, I should say.
Yep. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, that was
every year that goes on. It's dangerous.
Right. Yeah. Yes, it is. And a lot of people up there that are listening might not have power yet either. So thank goodness for car radios. We wouldn't want you to miss us. Ah! That's the least of your worries. I get it, man. There's a lot going on, and we wish you the best. But
hey, you might be listening on a podcast too, and thanks for doing that. We have thousands and thousands of people that download this show as a pod, and I myself am a prolific podder.
Wow. Does that take special uniform or something?
You are a prolific podder. Yes. Right. Yes, you are.
I just made that up.
Well,
can you tell?
No one could tell.
Anyway, it's spring, and it's time for some people to wake that grill up because maybe they were not feeling like they had the best place to use it or the right circumstances. Like some of us, you know, have areas that are better than others. So if you're just pulling it out or you've just been lazy and it's sitting out there and been covered in snow all winter, those are even probably even more susceptible because it does provide for a really nice little domicile for critters.
Right.
And they do like to chew your igniter wire.
Mm-hmm.
They love to have babies.
Right.
And they love to nest and they urinate.
Right.
You're not a nine.
Right. Yes. Honey. They do all of that, and the last thing you want to do is fire up that gas grill before you've cleaned that out, because you're going to get one of the rankest smells.
Well, it might just explode too.
Right. Yeah. So let's take the typical char grill or gas grill that you've got in the backyard. You open the hood for the first time, you look down and everything looks pretty good, right? Just like the way I put it together. Well, there might be some hiding things in there, right?
Right.
So start from the top and work down. I'm going to pull the grates off and they probably need to be cleaned. This would be a great time for you to get a wire brush and just stand them on edge and hit those grates.
Or your power washer.
Yeah, either one. Sometimes you got to loosen it up with the power, or you can soak them. If you've got a big tub, put them in hot water, throw some Dawn dishwashing liquid or whatever you got in
there. So you want to add to the patina with Dawn?
Right. Well, I want to get it off of there because it's set there all winter. I don't know what you've done.
You just
gunky.
Brushed up against my feelings there.
Well, I understand.
I don't think you can do Dawn on a grill.
Yeah, you cook it off. I'll try to clean it off a little bit, at least the first time. You're going to rinse it, and it's going to be fine. But so anyway, I take the grates, and I get those cleaned. A wire brush works really good.
But what if you're cooking tofu? That tofu is going to absorb the Dawn.
I understand. It just adds to the flavor. But so after that, then, Bob, what are those like little triangular things that go over
Heat shields.
Yeah. Should you clean those too?
if they need it. Generally, they're kind of self-cleaning, but the top might be caked up and loaded up. But the key is you want to fire that thing up. Number one, see if it does fire up. I'm going to say over half of the people out there with gas grills are using a propane tank.
Yep.
So you'll want to start this inspection by checking your tank, checking the hose that connects the tank to the regulator, and make sure that thing's not cracked. Because I have seen plenty of propane accidents where a fire starts off the hose. It's been leaking. They don't notice because it's downwind or whatever. And all of a sudden, the wind shifts a little bit and that gas ignites and there's a flame shooting out of the hose. Now you got a problem.
Right.
You don't want that.
Right. So I'm going to reel back here a little bit because I want you to take the grill apart before you ever light it up. Because I want to see if those little critters have made a nest anywhere in there.
Sure, yeah, and whatever your order you want to go. But the very first thing I would recommend is checking out your connections and making sure that thing is safe from there on out. You can do that while you're gutting it or whenever, but they're both very important.
Right. So I take those heat shields off. Now I'm looking at a burner. It might be H-shaped. It might be U-shaped.
But
it might be linear.
It's likely a ribbon.
Right.
Which is the bulk of them, and that's a piece of tubular steel with holes punched in it. And if it's a cheaper Chinese grill, they're probably rotten by now, and you'll notice a hot spot in that part of your grill because there's a big hole there and all your gas is leaking out right there.
Right.
Now, you might be used to grilling with that way, and you're really good at it, but either way, it might be time for a new grill. By the way, after the show this morning, I'm running down to Garrett's. Because they're doing a clearance sale on all their Broil Kings.
Oh.
So I want to go down. I'm going to photograph them, and I'll try and post them on our page.
Yeah.
But if you do need a new grill, Garrett's Appliance on 28th Street has a ton on clearance, and it's a good time to get those.
So we get that. Yeah, it is a very good time. So we get that burner. If that needs to be replaced, you can generally go to a good hardware store, and they probably got one that if you've got a common brand of grill – they probably got one, but now you're down into the belly of the grill. You're seeing now the bottom of your gas grill, and that's probably where, if there were a nest or something, you're going to find that. And the reason that it's down there is that's where all your drippings end up when you've been grilling all summer that don't get burned on the from the heat shields and the burner, and that is what attracts the varmints, right? Because it smells good and it looks good, and it's a place that's covered. They're up.
Smells good to them.
Right. And it's they're up under your cover. It's secluded. It's warmer for the winter. You get it right. So if you find that in there, you need to clean that out. Now the belly of the grill, I don't use water on. I don't spray that. What I do is I get a putty knife, just a flat like you'd use for drywall or whatever, but like a 3-4 incher, and I just go down in there and scrape anything I can find off the bottom, and then I grab my shop vac and I suck it up, and you're clean then. You don't have to be spick and span. You just got to get the big chunks out of there. So you're starting over clean for the new year. Put the thing back together with your new burner. And I think that's a huge tip, Bob, is if you see, they should be pinholes, right?
And they might even just be rusty.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them were not stainless. And if they were stainless, they're a cheap grade of stainless because that's what they use in Shanghai.
Well, and that's what they use in more affordable grills. We'll call it that. And anyway, a new burner will make your grilling year tremendously better than if you're looking at the one that
But that Broil King I'm talking about, I've owned several.
Mm-hmm.
That is made in North America, U.S. and Canada, and they have stainless ribbon burners. They're fantastic. I think they have a lifetime warranty on the burners.
Right.
I think Weber does too.
Right. So you may not have to buy that burner. You just go back to the dealer, and they'll warranty one out for you. And just, you know, be careful. You can probably get a YouTube video, but take a little video of what it looked like before you pull it out of there because you want to be able to put it back in. It's a safety
now,
issue if you don't mount it back in.
Smart dad is going to show his wife and say, honey, we need a new grill.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because this thing's going to blow up, and I don't think you want to live without me.
Right. So coming up next, we're going to talk not about cleaning your grill, but using the damn thing. So we got skirt steak, grilled onions, and a whole bunch of other stuff. You're listening to The Grilling Guys on The Grilling Guys Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan.
45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards. Now hit me!
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. The things we talk about during the break, I'm going to tell you what.
It's not a G-rated break.
No, it never is, but we'll keep this family friendly.
Randy's got a naughty mind.
Right, and we'll keep this friendly because, you know, just let your mind wander a minute when we talk about, I think we want to talk about skirt steak in the next segment.
Skirt.
Ooh, that went down a bad path in a hurry.
Steak.
But anyway, so Bob, tell us about skirt steak. I can't even say it.
It's an affordable piece of meat used largely, or not largely, but I'd say the first time I ever saw it was in a Hispanic market, a Mexican supermercado kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mexicans were onto that cut long ago. And so it's wonderful for fajitas and tacos. And it's a used to be kind of a junk meat. You know, it comes down around the belly. And it's not very thick. The butcher has to really know what he's doing to get it off clean. But if you do, it's a wonderful piece of meat.
Very flavorful.
Full of flavor. It's more up front in the cow. It's got that chuck flavor to it. But I'm going to use whatever type of, I'm going to say Mexican rub, and I'm a simple guy on that stuff. I always use that tahini.
Yep.
And I just sprinkle some of that on it and let it set on the counter for about 15 minutes. I'll fire up the charcoal. I'll put that thing on there very briefly. It's going to take about 6 to 8 minutes on each side max,
mm-hmm.
because it's real thin on one end and it's kind of thick in the middle, but not. So
maybe like a half, three quarters of an inch.
Yeah, it doesn't get very thick.
Right.
So I'm going to be really, really careful and on the mark on that thing and just being careful because I don't want that to get above medium rare.
Right.
Except you do have people that have to have medium. And, you know, your ends will be thinner. You can serve that to those people.
Right. And the thing is it is a thin piece of meat that'll cook pretty quick.
Yeah.
And the more you cook it, the tougher it gets. And it's already not a prime soft piece. It's a skirt, right? It maintains, kind of holds things in.
Yeah.
So it's a muscle. And
it's not culottes.
Right. But anyway, at the end of the day, medium rare is where you want it, and as Bob said, the ends will get more done. The middle, just, you know, use your thermopen or use your eye or do whatever you do.
So pay attention to it. You'll notice the strains run from long end to long end.
Right.
It's a grainy meat. So when you are slicing it, you want to put your knife against that and cut at a 90 perpendicular to the grain, and then you'll want to bevel your blade so you're doubling your bias on that thing. But it also makes for what is a longer slice as you cut it, and it's much more appealing. It's
right.
It's very seductive cut. My mouth is
watering. You're cutting across. This thing's going to be long like a piece of paper, right? It's narrower and longer.
Right.
And you're going across it, getting the narrow pieces, just several slices
yep.
as you go the long lengthways
yep.
down the cut.
And if you're going to grill that, you might as well grill your onions, and you have favorite ways to do that. You can grill some peppers. You can grill some tomatoes. But here's what I like to do, and I learned this from a Mexican chef. You'll notice the birria tacos, they'll take that corn tortilla shell and they'll dip it in a beef fat slash juice mixture.
Yeah.
Well, it's drippings from a roast. And they'll drop that in there and they'll throw that tortilla on the grill. You can
top.
Do that on your barbecue grill too. You don't have to have a griddle. You can do it on your barbecue grill, But you dip that thing in there, and you just get it kind of wet, and it adds a flavor to it that's fantastic. Yeah. It gets rid of that Dawn flavor.
So. that was on your grates. Yeah. So if you're just tuning in, you missed that joke.
And if you didn't, that's okay.
Yeah. The onions, they grill in a lot of the Mexican restaurants that I like. They grill the green onions whole. And so you can put, and then they chop them up or they serve them to you. They've softened, right? By the time they get there, they'll serve them to you whole on your plate, or you can, you know, just cut them up and put pieces of that in there. But, oh,
and for most of these recipes, I think you're going to find that they're calling for a red onion, and I'm going to cut that again in wedges so I can grill it. They're going to be fatter wedges than the potatoes, but I'm going to go with red onion because you want that zing that a red onion gives you. It'll sweeten up as you grill it, but I still want to get that pop from the onion. And then while you're doing that, your wife or your partner can prep the cheese, lime, cilantro, salsa, and sour cream, whatever. But getting those tortilla shells just right, if you can get yourself, you can actually buy a can of au jus and do that too. So however you want to do it,
I can tell you another one that's really good is Old World Olive Company makes a Persian lime olive oil, and it has it's obviously infused with lime, and you brush a little of that on a tortilla, and I do them in a skillet.
Great. Or the garlic or whatever your favorite is.
Any of those.
EVO is good too if you don't want to dink with a burrito thing. But the other thing is you can do on the grill this time of year. And these are not this time of year, but any time of the year. But what made me hungry was thinking about a grilled chicken sandwich. We're chickened to death. So you got to find a way to do your chicken so that you actually want to eat it.
Yep.
And I have some people living in my house that are health freaks, and it's chicken breast, chicken breast, chicken breast. Sorry, throwing you under the bus.
They're missing out on the thighs.
I know. So here's what I'm going to do for a grilled chicken sandwich. How would you do a chicken thigh on the grill?
Every time, rather than a breast. But
no, but if you're doing a sandwich, what are you going to do with that thing?
I'm gonna grill it up. I might marinate it a little bit in some sort of a sauce. I mean, the easy go-to is zesty Italian dressing.
Yep, too easy.
Right. Throw that in a Ziploc bag, drop in your thighs, and bam, you got a wonderful flavor. Two things happen there. You're infusing flavor, but there's also a little oil in that dressing. And that'll make it not stick to your grill, and it'll let it crisp up.
I ran across a red chimichurri sauce.
There you go.
And that, it has a little heat to it. And I love chimichurri, so I'm looking to experiment with that. But what I'm going to do before I do any of this is I'm going to make two stops. First, I'm going to Sobey Meats, and I'm going to buy probably a whole bag of those skinless, boneless
10
thighs.
10 pounds,
It's 10 pounds. Tim will give you a heck of a deal if you buy a bag because he doesn't need to mess with it. And they are gorgeous. Then what I'm going to do with those is I'm going to trim them in a way that's going to fit on a bun nicely because they might be kind of big. Then I'm going down to Hall Street Bakery or Wealthy Street Bakery, and I'm going to get some of those gorgeous buns because it's kind of like a baguette dough that they use. And it's going to make a sandwich that'll hold up to your Tyrannosaurus Rex tearing effect that you're going to do to that thing. It won't fall apart. It'll allow for the primal attack.
And the juice. Those things absorb juice, so it makes your sandwich so good.
I'm so hungry.
So good. Making me think.
So I'm going to cut that bun in half. I'm going to take some garlic butter. I'm going to spread it on there. Back on the grill again. I'm going to grill those things up so that, as Big Pauly would say, nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to grill again. I'm probably going to go with some red onions. Maybe if I have any sweet onions left, I'll grill those. And in this case, I might do big fat steaks so that they're easier to flip. And then I'm going to probably – I love red peppers. So I might grill
sweet
up some
sweet
red peppers. Yep. And in the meantime, my bride's going to prep up some sauce, whatever she thinks is appropriate for a chicken pepper sandwich. And we're going to get some pickles and chips. There's some certain potato chips that we get from, I think they come from Costco actually, but they're a very healthy chip.
It's kind of a contradiction of terms right there, but
you can eat them and not have the guilt trip.
Right. Okay. You know, the but other thing that when I cater with chicken thighs, there's a sauce out there that I'd like to turn you all on to. It's called Mr. Yoshida, and it's a sweet teriyaki sauce.
I almost bought
sauce.
Some of that. I did not.
Oh, it's fantastic.
You can get that at Costco.
I buy it on the internet by the gallon because I use that as my marinade and then smoke the chicken thighs, and people go crazy.
So you're doing
for
a Terry style.
Yes. Yep. They're very good. But anyway, that's easy. That
grilled chicken sandwich, skirt steak, tacos. There's a couple great lunches to make your spring feel like summer.
Yeah, man. All right. Well, coming up next, one of the things that's almost my least favorite, but Bob's going to turn it into one of your favorites, is a pork steak. I just think they're a little blah. They don't have a ton of flavor. I'm used to my ribeye.
You're right. And, I'm not even going to do it.
Right, man. Yeah. But anyway, so coming up next, Bob's going to mix up a little recipe for your pork steak. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
If you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats, where our staff is always friendly and they all know our creed. Come on down to Sobey's and let us meet your needs. We have kielbasa, kapusta, chicken, pork, and beef. Seafood and hot sticks, a snack that can't be beat. Dairy and deli, groceries, beer, and wine. And once you shop at Sobey's, you'll shop there all the time.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Please stop by to see Teresa and myself and the whole gang for good old-fashioned service at 3450 Remembrance Road. Make sure you visit SobeyMeats.com for our specials, and thank you for your support.
So when you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats. And if you're really satisfied, there's one way we can tell. When you leave the store, make sure you ring our bell.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're going to eat so much, you might choke. So here's how it goes.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. You know, on the morning when you're listening to this show, if you're on your podcast, I hope you just have half the fun that I do when we're doing this.
I hope they have more.
Right. The between segments and sometimes on-air chop busting is probably my favorite thing about this show.
Really?
And I'm not
That's
talking.
A shock.
I'm not talking about pork chops. I'm talking about just busting your buddy's chops.
But Conrad, do you even believe him right now?
Well, I'm thinking you guys sound like an old married couple to me.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So
no, there's no hitting.
Right.
Oh, don't tell. There you
but he has changed my diaper a couple times.
Oh. Right. Yes. Right. So hey, that's a real buddy. Come on now.
That's a good friend right there.
It might have been tequila.
Wow.
So, Jop doesn't seem to care for pork steak because he's kind of uppity. But I'm going to tell you that in my prior life and traveling with Rob Russell, we would change things up with some goofy stuff once in a while. And one of the things we'd like to do while we're smoking the butts to have something we could do in 2 or 3 hours is we'd smoke up some pork steak. And if you've never smoked a pork steak, you're missing a great piece of meat that's really cheap, because if you do it right, you got to go pretty low and slow. I'm going to go 2 1/4, 250, and I'm not going to do a ton of smoke because it's all open grain meat. But I'm going to smoke that thing up with a nice rub and use whatever your favorite rub is, whatever you want to get rid of. It doesn't matter. You're going to get that thing in there for about 3 hours, and you're going to dissolve almost all the fat and connective tissue. When you do that, you just end up with these nice little pieces of, I would almost call them cutlets, because you'll see the several different muscles that are in that steak as you grill it, as you smoke it. But when the fat dissolves and disappears, it's going to fall apart. So you'll get those individual little, medallions. And I'm going to tell you that they're going to be so tender and so wonderful. If Jop, you've said your wife doesn't like it, I'm going to tell you, you just probably didn't quite get it. You probably grilled it, which is a mistake, and you can't grill a pork steak. You can't tune a piano either.
Right. No, I'm agreeing with you because it dries out, and that's why she doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Because I do grill it, and I grill it on the tech, and it cooks. I even serve it a little bit medium. You know, I'm not worried about trichinosis.
It's still going to be tough.
But it's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you smoke it, you break down all that connective tissue, and I'm not overemphasizing it. I'm just being honest. It transforms a dull piece of meat into something. Because what is pork steak? Well, it's part of the shoulder. It's part of the Boston butt.
Right.
It's just like a country rib. You have to do those low and slow too, and then they'll be wonderful. But if you rush a country rib, it's going to be the same thing. Oh, they're too tough. Well, it's really a pork butt. It's where the pork butt is transitioning. I believe Tim Sobe could correct me to the shoulder, and it's got more of those muscles in it. Whereas a butt is pretty much 2-3 primary muscles and then the money meat.
Right.
This is going to be somewhere in between those pieces, I believe, or in between there and the actual shoulder itself. But
these are
it's a cheap piece of meat.
Right. And aren't they about the size of a dinner plate? I mean, if you're looking at it.
It can be.
Yeah.
It's up to the butcher. They can screw it up. But, big box stores will hide it under pork chops. They'll give you 4 beautiful chops and then one of those under it. Because it kind of looks like a pork chop, but.
Right. It's not. And so.
It's called profit margin.
But again, my. My position on it is it's not my favorite cut of meat.
Well, we have counseling sessions available after 9 o'clock.
Right. But
just tune into the grilling, guys.
You 10 you after the show's
things,
over.
You put some things with it. We are a short month or so away from my favorite vegetable on earth, which I hated when I was a kid, but now I can't get enough of it, is asparagus.
Grill them.
I love grilled asparagus. I love to serve that to people. There's a dozens of ways to cook it, to season it. One of the fun ways is take the thinnest bacon you can find and wrap it around the stalk and then grill that thing till that bacon is crispy a little bit. And
even if they're not ready at the fruit stands, your club stores like Costco, I bought a big bag of them for like $9.
Right.
And we've been eating the heck out of them. They come from Chile probably. But I wanted to go back to Conrad. He said his wife always serves him applesauce with his pork.
I
think on that pork steak, you might finish him off with a little bit of applesauce on time. You love apple barbecue.
Right, I do.
So that might, help your
it's going to do two things. It's going to put a flavor profile on there, but it's also going to put moisture.
I'm just thinking it might help with the trauma you've been experiencing.
Right. Well, it's not trauma because you're not coming over to my house and getting pork steak. I'm just going to tell you that now.
Oh, wow.
I'm not uppity. I'm just saying that I cook what I like so I know how it turns out for people.
Jeez. What about like a really big, giant, thick piece of bacon? Isn't that kind of related to
it's
a
belly?
Pork?
That's pork belly.
That's the belly.
Yeah, that's kind of like the
shoulder.
Skirt steak of pork.
Yeah.
So here's a really cool way to get your wife totally excited about the things you're grilling. Take some nice, and you're going to need to get some fresh peaches, and they're not in season, but you can still buy them in the store. Leave the skin on it, cut it into nice thick wedges, and wrap that thing in thin bacon and throw it on the grill.
Oh.
And the combination of peaches and bacon, if you think apple's good with pork, peaches are too, buddy.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that is a wonderful little dessert.
Sweet and salty.
And you want to keep it on there until that bacon is crispy. So that's why you want thin bacon.
Yep.
And if you do this right and you wind it on, it'll take some practice. You might have to do it a few times. But that is, again, my mouth waters every time I talk about my favorite foods.
Yeah.
I'm drowning
over
here.
I've not done that, but that's I really enjoy peaches.
I know you do.
And bacon
Your wife
is,
does peach cobbler all the time.
Yep, and bacon is wonderful. So I'll have to give that one a try because I'm just thinking a little sweet and salty.
Oh,
it's gotta
so
be,
good.
It's got to be really good.
So
and,
good.
And again, what you're doing is enhancing the flavor of that otherwise boring pork roast chop.
So I didn't want to jump out of that asparagus too fast, but if you're in West Michigan coming up in the next month, you're going to start seeing the asparagus on the side roads.
Mm.
And if you can find somebody that's selling it reasonably this year, and I think you will because we've had lots of rain and we're going to get more, I think that asparagus is going to be growing fast. And you want it to grow fast because then it's not thick in the stalk.
Right. right? Thin
Joppy is thick and thick in the stock.
Right. Not so much. I'm on the carnivore
diet.
He didn't get
enough rain.
Right. But no, the ones that are between like a pencil and a pretzel rod size, those are mine. I love those. Anything bigger than your little finger in diameter, I walk away from that piece of asparagus. They get woody, and I just don't like them. I really like the little ones, and they're so much more tender. But again, there's a lot of asparagus recipes out there.
And if you do buy a bunch of them, you might try your hand at canning them, because if you buy one of those little cans, those little jars, they're skinny and tall. They're $10 now.
Right. Exactly. And they're pickled. You might use them in your Bloody Marys.
They're so good.
They're wonderful. But, you know, you can, if you're inclined to do that, you can make those for 10 cents on a dollar.
I made a bunch of them last year, and I made the mistake of opening a bottle of Meritage as I started.
Oh, yeah.
And one thing you're doing when you're canning, you have to be precise on timing. And I was, music blaring. I'm having so much fun. No. No, you overcooked them all.
Right.
You ruined them.
A little rubbery.
Yep.
Because you still want a little.
No, they were mushy.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You want a little firmness and a little snap almost with them, too.
Yeah,
still.
And if you do them nice and short, they'll be perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And I do enjoy canning. It's a process, and it's a lot of work, but that's one thing you could practice on, because if you like asparagus and you like the hot canned or the pickled, just a great way to have it that's more affordable. And you have to try and find things affordable. We did have a crazy week in the news. The world seems to be just nutso right now, but I think everything will be okay. And we're just it's like every day seems like a year if you're watching the world.
Right.
There's so much stuff going on that. I just have faith that it'll all turn out all right.
I believe it will too. There are some strange things, but we'll get through it. And you know what? Here's the deal: get out in your backyard, fire up a grill, create some grill envy in your neighborhood. Because as soon as the smoke starts going, you're going to find out who your friends are, and it's people you don't even know are your friends, because they're like seagulls. They just come from everywhere when there's food to eat. So, and I think that's a great part about being a grilling guy. So, it's spring. We're going to call it spring. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.